Start of the day, the Torah, Rabbi Yishai Lissa.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for having me. Today I'd like to discuss a topic that I don't think has been discussed on Torah Way before, which is the halachas relevant to your teeth. So here we go. Starting off with the beginning of the day, starting off with the Gemara. Amema u'mazutra v'rab ashi habiyosti. They were sitting together. Amema rab ashi and mazutra. Aisil kamahu baudal. They brought along to them this sort of product that you're meant to put on your face, which is very good for your skin. Amema rab ashi moshu. Amema rab ashi used it. And mazutra lo moshu. Mazutra didn't want to touch it. Omru leilu savalama the hard of Omer Rav Sheshes brother. So they asked Rav Ashi and Amema asked Mazutra, why are you not using it? Don't you hold of Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes earlier in the Gemara said that this mixture is permitted to use. So why aren't you using it? Omalu hu Rav Mordechai, but Mordechai was there as well, and he said to Rav Ashi and Amema, Barmanidma, leave Mazutra alone. Dafira bechol namilo surely. Even during the weekday, this is on Shabbat. Even during the weekday, he doesn't use this mixture. Why not? It's some sort of beauty product that you put on your face.
None
left. He holds like the Brisa that says that a man can scrape off dirt from his face and he can scrape off a scab on his skin, this is during the week, because of if he's in pain. If he's doing it to beautify himself, it's osa. It's forbidden to take. Mazutra holds. It's forbidden to take off dirt or to take off a scab from your body if you're doing it in order to beautify yourself. Rashi explains because of lo yilbash. It's a feminine sort of thing to do to beautify your face. So if you have a scab on your body, anyway, you have dirt, it's osa to take it off in order to make yourself look more appealing. The inhu commands of Rosa. How come Mazutra, Ameiman, Rav Ashi, how come they can use this thing? Why isn't it a problem of lo silbash? He hold the Tanya, Sabrua, he hold the Tanya, they hold a different brisa. Ruchitz, Odom, Ponov, Yodov, Araglov, Bechol Yom, a person should wash his hands, feet, and his face. Bechol Yom, every single day. Bishvil Kainai, because of, in honor of Hashem, Mishim Shinema, because it says in the Posuk, Kop or Hashem Lemaneyu. Everything Hashem does, everything Hashem creates, is lichvoida, is for Hashem's covered. Now there's the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Dalad, Sif Yud Zayin, that one should wash his mouth out every morning with Mishum Haririm Shebasuch HaPeh, because of the saliva that builds up in one's mouth when he's slept, when it's been a long time without eating, and therefore he should wash his mouth out in Kedei Lahazke Shem Shemayim B'Kedusha V'Tara, in order to say Hashem's name, B'Kedusha, with a clean mouth, in order to give Hashem the proper honor. Rashi says, Bishvil Konehu, why should you wash your face and your hands and your feet? The Kovod Konehu, in honor of Hashem, the Chesiv Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Osa, Hashem made all of us B'Tzelem Elokim, and we should beautify ourselves in order to beautify the Tzelem Elokim. And another reason why Rashi says that we should be washing ourselves every morning, to Haroya Briyos Nois, Eime Baruch Shekoch Alo Ba'alom, somebody who sees somebody who looks nice, a nice Briya, he should be making a bracha, Baruch Shekoch Alo Ba'alom, that Hashem has created such a nice thing in his world. So in order to bring honor to Hashem, one should be, as the Shulchan Aruch says, washing his mouth out when he wakes up every single morning. And you're able to be mekayim this through brushing your teeth every morning before Shacharis. And it's not something, it's not being Oisik B'Tzrochov before Shabbos, before Shacharis, which would be a problem to be doing your own individual things, since it's in honor of Hashem and it's the Tzorech, the Tefillah. Now, can you do, we've got a Tanis coming up, can you brush your teeth on a Tanis Tzibah? This is a Shulchan. In the morning before Shacharis, you can brush your teeth on Tanis Tzibah. Well, not so fast, there's a Shulchan Aruch about it. In Siman Tov Kuf Samach Zayin, Sif Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch Loshon is somebody who usually washes his mouth out, we're talking about with water, somebody who usually washes his mouth out in the morning on a Tanis Tzibah, it's not kosher lemeivad hachi, it's not befitting to do this on a Tanis Tzibah. However, on a Tanis Yochid, which we're memoikal for a Tanis Yochid, Shori, it's permitted, Kivan Shepoilet, since you spit out the water afterwards, you're not going to be swallowing it. Even if the water that you're using is more than a revias, which the Gemara in Brachos points out, there might be a problem of a te'ima, of tasting the water. Even so, since you're spitting it out on a tanis yochid, it's permitted. On a tanis tzibah, like Shiva Asabatamas, which is coming fast our way, it's not kosher lemeivat hochi. It's not befitting to wash your mouth out on a tanis tzibah. The Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Yadalef, brings an exception. He says, "B'mokam tzar, if you're going to be in pain, you're able to wash your mouth out with water on every tanis tzibah. You should only be careful to bend your head forward and put your mouth down in order that you don't come to swallow any water by mistake. Even on Tisha B'Av, you can be mekel if your betzah godol, and on Yom Kippur, you should be machme even if your betzah godol." In Tafkuf Nindala, the Mishnah Berurah brings an idea as to what tzah godol means. He talks about washing your face. He says somebody who's an istanis, he can wash his face on Tisha B'Av, if he'll be thinking about it the entire day, and he won't be able to take his mind off it because he's in so much pain from not having washed his face. Maybe we could apply the same thing to washing your mouth out on Tisha B'Av. So on a tanis tzibah, best avoided. If you're going to be in pain, then you can. On Tisha B'Av, if you're going to be betzah godol, great amounts of pain, then you can brush your teeth. You can wash your mouth out with water. Sorry. And on Yom Kippur, you should be machmir not to wash your mouth out at all. Now the Minchas Yitzchak applies this to nowadays. Can you brush your teeth on a tanis tzibah? This is the Minchas Yitzchak Chelek Dalad Siman Kuf Tes. Somebody who has in his mouth a bad smell and he or a reach ra and he wants to brush his teeth. If he's got tzar, then on Tisha B'Av tzar godol, he applies it the exact same way. Then it's mutter to brush your teeth. But if you don't have a tzar godol, then on Tisha B'Av, then you can brush your teeth without water. Similarly, on a tanis tzibah, you should be able to brush your teeth without water, even if you're not betzah godol, because you're not putting any food in your mouth, you're just brushing your teeth. So there you go. On a tanis tzibah, can you brush your teeth? So betzah, yes, you can. Tisha B'Av, tzah godol, yes, you can. On Yom Kippur, we're going to run into other problems with melachos, which you're going to come onto soon. But without water, seemingly, it's all okay. Now,
you mentioned
about
an isthmus. Is that a tzar and an
isthmus?
Are they connected?
Yes, it's a type of person that would be
practically empty, I would imagine, brushing their teeth.
Well, if you think about, let's say, Shabbos, I'd say that a lot of people do not brush their teeth on Shabbos, so it doesn't seem to be in so much tzar there. You're probably used to it. So I imagine on a tanis tzibah, the average person can also manage.
Would they use mouthwash?
Right, so if you're the type of person that would be betzah in pain without using this mouthwash, then the Mishnah Berurah says it's mutter. But if you're the type of person that could manage, maybe you'd be uncomfortable, you wouldn't be in pain, then you should. It's best to manage without. Now, moving on swiftly, Hilchas Tzitzis. That was Hanhogas Adam Baboykes, Simon Beis. Moving on to Hilchas Tzitzis. And Simon Yodalef Sif Yod Beis, there's a very interesting thing which is brought out by the postkin, that the number of tzitzis that you put onto your beged is four doubled over strings, four times two. When you put four strings through, it comes out as eight, and you put the strings into the hole, and you tangle four strings on either side, and you wrap those together, which is eight strings. If you add on to the strings, it's possible because of the Chashash Bal Tosef. Now, when you put the strings in, you should first cut the four strings before you put them into the hole. Now, how do you cut them? The Mishnah Berurah says you should cut them with your teeth. You should bite them into four pieces. You should not use a knife when you're first creating your tzitzis strings. You should not use a knife to cut them into shape. The Machzit HaShekel explains as to why this is, because the Pasuk says, Lo seinef aleihem barzel, tzitzis bring arichas yomim, and iron, things that you make scissors out of, or knives out of, they're made out of metal. Iron shortens life, and the tzitzis lengthen life, and it's a similar stira as to whatever we had in the Beis HaMikdash, that you should not be using iron instruments which shorten life to create things which are meant to lengthen life. Therefore, you should cut them with non-iron products. Now, why specifically your teeth? The Machzit HaShekel says you should also, apart from not using an iron knife, you should also use your teeth, because you have 32 teeth in your mouth, and the strings of tzitzis also amount to the number lamed beis. If you have 8 times 4, that takes you to 32, corresponding to the 32 teeth in your mouth. A kafachayim takes this one step further still. He says, even when you've finished creating your teeth, if you want to shorten them while the tzitzis strings are on your beged at a later stage, you also should not cut them with a knife. Rather, you should cut them with your teeth. Because he also says, at the time that you say lehis atef the tzitzis, when you're making a bracha on your talis, you should have in mind the Rosh Tevis Lamed base 32, which corresponds to the 32 teeth in your mouth, which corresponds also to the Lamed base Nesivas HaChochmah, the 32 forms of Chochmah, the secrets of Chochmah. And this is a segula that your teeth shouldn't have you shouldn't have a toothache. You should have in mind there's Atef Betzitzis 32 corresponding to the Lamed base Nesivas HaChochmah, corresponding also to the 32 teeth in your mouth. And therefore, you won't have, it's a segula not to have a toothache. Then the Kutta Yerushima takes this one step further as well. He says that Kiddush Levona, the Kiddush Levona, the word Levona is a hint to Lamed base, Levva, Lamed base, and Nun Hei, Levona, Nun Hei stands for Nesivas HaChochma. And you should say at the time of Kiddush Levona, after you've said the words, Ve'eni Yochol in Goyaboch, you should say, Velo Yihye Li Ke'ev Shanaim La'olam, is also a Sagula to stop you having a toothache that month, I guess. There's also an idea to check your tzitzis by the moonlight after Kiddush Levona. So it seems to be that it's all connected. The Lamed base of the Levona, the 32 strings of your tzitzis and the 32 teeth of your mouth, that all corresponds to, seems to be connected zeh lo zeh, and it's a big segula that you shouldn't have toothaches. To have in mind is atef betzitzis lamed base for your teeth, and also to say below yihyali ke'ev shenayim le'olam during Kiddush Levona afterwards. Eini yochol in goyavach. Everything will be said in a chazora at the end of the shir so that everybody can walk away with everything. Moving on, Siman Kuf Ayin Sif Yud. There's a halacha on Shulchan Aruch. Lo yishaych prusa. You should not bite a piece of bread and put it onto the table. And the Mishnah Berurah explained because of mias. So you shouldn't bite a piece of bread and put it on the table. Now the Shulchan Aruch repeats itself five sifim later in Sif Tesvav. It says again, you should not bite a piece of bread and put it in front of your friend. Because Ein Das have Kolabrias Shaver. Not everybody's got the same sort of mindset to be able to deal with the same sort of things. Now the Mishnah Berurah asked the Kasha, we've already said that one should not bite a piece of bread and put it on the table. What's the Shulchan Aruch doing repeating itself? The Shulchan Aruch explains that Siman in Sif Yud, when we're talking about the first time the Shulchan Aruch says that you shouldn't put bread in front of you, is talking about when you bite a piece of bread, take that bread out of your mouth and then put it onto the table, that you shouldn't do at all. However, when you're bitten a piece of bread and we're talking about the other piece that's still in your hand, you just shouldn't put that in front of your friend and you shouldn't put that on your friend's plate, because it's not nice to see something that someone else has bitten into. I know I'm makbid, whenever I make lecha mishnah, I take my first bite, I put the piece of challah underneath my plate so that nobody can see my teeth marks, which is a very quick way of getting it out the way in order that I can continue cutting everybody else. Seems to be anything. Anything, you should not be putting a it's not nice, yes. So there's two types of mias. There's the piece of bread that you've put in your mouth that you can't put on the table at all. The type of bread, the type of bit piece that's left in your hand, you just shouldn't put that in front of your friends. You can put it on the table, just make sure that it's not right in front of them, nice and out of sight. Now, another halacha in regards to teeth. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say somebody brings you something which is a bracha of Berei Peri Ho'etz, and something which is the bracha of Shahakol Niyeh Bidvarai. Which one should you be eating first? So the Shulchan Aruch says you should be making a bracha first on the Berei Peri Ho'etz. Why is this? Because the bracha of Berei Peri Ho'etz is more choshev. It has a chashivas to it. What's the chashivas that Berei Peri Ho'etz has? Is that the Mishnah Berurah says it's more specific. Shahakol Niyeh Bidvarai can be motzi all foods. Everything edible can be motzi with the bracha of Shahakol Niyeh Bidvarai. However, Berei Peri Ho'etz is a much more specific bracha. You can only be motzi fruits of the tree, and therefore you should be making Berei Peri Ho'etz first. The fact that it can be motzi less, it's a more of a specific bracha, and therefore it gets a chashivas, and you should be making that bracha before Shahakol Niyeh Bidvarai. Now, the Minag Yisrael Torah bring a very interesting marimokum that this is not always the case. Why, it says somebody who has mezainas and somebody who has whiskey, he brings a yesh omim, yesh nayagin, that you should make a bracha on the whiskey first, even though it's shahakol, before you make a bracha on the mezainas biscuit. Why is this? So the answer is Because there's a concept in Shulchan Aruch called Yemalei Pi Tehil Asecha, that you should have only make a bracha when your mouth is completely empty, in order that your mouth can be filled with praise to Hashem. Now, when you bite into a biscuit, you get shiori, you get shirayim left in your teeth, and therefore your mouth isn't completely empty. So there are those that would say we should rather make a bracha on the drink first. You make sure Kol Ni'ebed Varai, the drink is completely clear from your mouth once you've swallowed it, and then you can make a Bereim and Emezonos, the Hidda of Yemalei Pi Tehil Asecha. Yeshnoi, I know this is not the normal Mekubal Pesach, but Yeshnoi again, that they should be saying Shehakol first in order to avoid bits and pieces in their teeth during the next bracha. It might be... Pardon? It could be a coffee, but the example that was brought in Minhag Yisrael Torah was whiskey and a biscuit, which is not because it's more chashev. Right, but if, so what's your question? Right, but this is saying that you should make shahakol because since it's a drink. A drink is completely clear from your mouth for the next bracha. However, if you have mezonos, you're going to have crumbs left in your mouth when you're then going to say shahakol, and you're not going to be mekayim yemalei pi tehil asecha
properly.
Well,
not if you
don't have it in mind. You do not if you don't have it in mind. Yeah. Okay, here we are. Now there's another Gemara here. Moving on to Hilchos Shabbos, there's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yotes. On the base, Tana Rabbanon, Ein Mafligin Besfina Pachas Megimol Yomim Kodem Shabbos. You're not supposed to set sail on a ship 3 days, within 3 days before Shabbos Kodesh. Now, why is this? We've got Goyim piloting the ship. What should be the issue? So there's a few shittas we're showing him here. The Razos says, because you might have to come to do Meleches Shabbos because of Pikuach Nefesh. Sometimes ships get very, very dangerous. And within 3 days of Shabbos, you're meant to be already thinking forward to Shabbos. And therefore, within 3 days to set sail in a situation, you might very likely come to do melacha. Therefore, you should not be setting sail within 3 days of Shabbos. The Rabban says that a non-Jew might do melacha for you, which is also an issue of Shabbos. And therefore, you should not be setting sail within 3 days of Shabbos. So Rabbi Nechananel says you might go out of the Tichum, in which case you should not be setting sail within 3 days when you already have to be thinking forward to Shabbos. Now, the Rif brings a very interesting reason as to why you should not be setting sail. Nothing to do necessarily with Melacha. He says, because of Bittel Oineg Shabbos, the first three days before you leave, the first 3 days that you're on the boat, you get seasick, the boat's rocking, you're not quite yet used to the movements until 3 days have gone past. So if you leave on a Tuesday, by Shabbos, you will have got used to the movements of the boat and there'll be no more Bittel Oineg Shabbos. The Chut Shani says the Ikar Bittel Shabbos is, that the Rif was talking about, is that you won't be able to eat. You'll feel sick, you won't be able to eat. Therefore, he talks about removal of teeth on Erev Shabbos or within 3 days of Erev Shabbos. He says that if you remove your teeth, even within 3 days of Shabbos, since Bederech Klal, normal operations, they usually heal and they're not so painful and you're able to eat again on Shabbos. Therefore, he says that most cases, only Erev Shabbos, you should be makbid not to have that root canal treatment, and therefore you'll be able to eat on Shabbos, b'tayoven again. I once had braces, train track braces, and when they were tightened, they were very, very painful, at least for me personally, for a few days, and I wasn't able to eat properly. There might be a problem with a bittel oineg Shabbos to schedule such an appointment so close to Shabbos. You should only be scheduling an appointment to have your braces tightened or to have your root canal treatment done in a way that you'll be able to eat again properly on the Shabbos which is coming. Now, what about brushing your teeth on Shabbos? There's a Rambam which says that somebody who squeezes out hair or skin on Shabbos, he's potter for schita, because these things aren't soft, says the Beis Halacha. You can only be over on schita deraisa. This is only a derabanan. You're going to be over on schita deraisa on things which are soft and actually absorb the water. Something which is hard, these bristles don't actually absorb the water. They just mimic absorbing the water. Similarly, human hair doesn't absorb water, but because they're so tightly packed together, it mimics as if it's been absorbed. And when they're squeezed, the water comes out. The Rambam says that's an issa derabanan. Pardon?
The gum that
Yeah, so we're going to come on to that, but first let's discuss the actual toothbrush. Using a toothbrush which is wet on Shabbos, Rav Shlomo Zalman says if the bristles are far apart in a way that you won't come to schita, then it's okay. However, the normal toothbrush where the bristles are tightly packed and they look like one big bristle because it's so tightly packed together, that would be a problem of schita on Shabbos if it's wet.
It's plastic. Right,
but since it mimics hair, it's tightly packed together. Just like hair doesn't absorb anything, and it is tightly packed, so it contains the water. So too, the bristles of your toothbrush are tightly packed and contain the water. And to squeeze that out, to squeeze that out would be an issa d'rabbanon, like the Rambam says, and is brought in Shulchan Aruch as well. Now, there's also another, apart from schita, there's another issue. To use toothpaste is an issa of mamreach, to smooth something out. Issa d'rabbanon of mamreach, they used to make things into certain shapes. To make something smooth with a smoothing motion is an issa d'rabbanon on Shabbos. Again, if it's not completely solid, like wax, something which is slightly more malleable, like Vaseline or toothpaste, that would be an issa d'rabbanon on Shabbos to use, according to most post-gim. Also, if you're the type of person that hasn't been up to date with their dental hygiene and your gums regularly bleed when you brush, or for that matter when you floss, then if there's a psik reisha, it's an issue on Shabbos. Therefore, you should not be brushing your teeth either for that reason. Now, the Sheva Halevi says regarding schita that an itza is to take a little bit of mouthwash, put it in your mouth, spit it out, and you can use the shirayim from the mouthwash to brush your teeth. On Shabbos. But not so fast, it's not so simple. There's an issa that people seem to leave out when discussing toothbrush. There's another issue of uvdin d'chol. What is uvdin d'chol? The Kupas HaRoichlin in his Tzomot to Mishnayah Shabbos brings three definitions of what uvdin d'chol is. There's tircha, that's one definition of uvdin d'chol, extraneous effort on Shabbos. Another definition of uvdin d'chol is you might come lidei melocha, you might very easily come to do a melacha by mistake with the action that you're doing now, or lead on to melacha. Another example of uvdin d'chol is that it's similar to a melacha Shabbos. Not necessarily that you'll come to do the melacha, but it looks like the melacha. The poskim say regarding a toothbrush, this is a Mogen Avraham and Simon Shinchov Zayin, a hairbrush that besudais like to use, he says, that young girls like to use. They brush their hair. They need to brush their hair with a brush with loose bristles that doesn't pull out their hair, and also a brush that they're going to brush with softly, and also a brush which is specifically made to be used on Shabbos. Because if you're using your weekday brush, you might forget that it's Shabbos, and you might come to brush hard like you do usually on the weekday. This is the issa of uvdin d'chol, according to the second definition, that you might come to do a melacha. The poskim apply this also to a toothbrush. If you have a toothbrush that you usually use wet or with toothpaste, then, and you use that toothbrush on Shabbos, even if you use it completely dry and your gums don't bleed, so there's no mamreach and there's no schita and there's no shokhet, there's no blood, but even so, since you're using the brush that you usually use during the week, you might very simply come to put on toothpaste, or you might come to brush in a way that there's schita or mamreach. Therefore, you should only be using a toothbrush which is dry on Shabbos, and also meyuchad for Shabbos use only. And therefore, you would have got out the problem of mamreach, you would have got out the problem of schita, you would have got out the problem of din d'chol, and if your gums don't bleed, then there's no issa shochet either, and l'chayra, it would be completely mutter. Now, there is one case I can think of, one instance, that it would be mutter to brush your teeth with a dry toothbrush, even with a toothbrush that you use during the week. Now, this is based off of a concept in uvdin d'chol, which you're going to go into a bit deeper, is that uvdin d'chol, the poskim understands, is a bit of a shvacha d'rabbanon. It's not got the same koiches as the usual d'rabbanon. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simon Shinvav Siv Zayin, that b'mokum mitzvah, uvdin d'chol is actually mutter. You can walk over the issa of uvdin d'chol b'mokum mitzvah. The example brought is that it's mutter limdod medida shal mitzvah, the last Gemara in Shabbos says, for example, to measure, which is an uvdin d'chol activity, it's something that might come to do a melacha, it's similar to melacha. If you measure, you can measure the amount of water in a mikveh, if it's got memsa or not, a kosher mikveh. Another example brought is the ladies, when somebody was not well, they would have a way of measuring their bodies with belts, and somehow, through some magical way, it would lead to them feeling a bit better. So this medida of the body, or medida of the mikveh, which is both the tzorich mitzvah, the Shulchan Aruch, says it's mutter. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Lamed Daled in Siman Shin Vav Sifkot and Lamed Daled says, Af Hagav Delo Hutta Shvus B'Mokam Mitzvah, even though usually we don't allow the Rabbanon's B'Mokam Mitzvah, Shani Medida, measuring is different, Delo Have Issa Kol Kach Elo Mishum Da Have Ke'uvdin D'Chol. Since it's Uvdin D'Chol, it's not such a stark the Rabbanon, therefore B'Mokam Mitzvah, it's mutter to do this issa. So therefore, let's say somebody's holding on Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, and there's a mitzvah to brush your teeth from all the chametz that you've been eating in the morning, and you've only got a weekday toothbrush, and you're willing to use it dry, and your gums won't bleed, it would be mutter even to use your weekday toothbrush on Erev Pesach Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, since there's a special mitzvah to brush your teeth. The only issa is mishum uvdin d'chol, and uvdin d'chol b'moka mitzvah is mutter. Now, before we finish, we're going to do a quick chazara so that everybody can walk away with everything. Here we go. Hilchos teeth. There's an idea to brush your teeth in honor of Hashem. There's an idea to wash your mouth out in honor of Hashem every morning before Shacharis in order to say Hashem's name, the Kedush of Atara, the Beis Yosef says. Now, you're able to be mekayim this through brushing your teeth. Can you brush your teeth on a fast day? So if it's a Tanis Sibba, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tovkuf Samach Zayin, it's best avoided. Tanis Yochid, it's mutter to wash your mouth out with water. The Mishnah Berurah says on even on a Tanis Sibba, it's permitted b'mokum tzar. On Tisha B'Av, it's mutter b'mokum tzar godol. And on Yom Kippur, you should be machme, even if you're b'tzar godol, you should not be washing your mouth out. The Minchas Yitzchok applies this also to brushing your teeth. Somebody who has a bad taste in his mouth and he wants to brush his teeth on a Tanis Sibba, if he's b'tzar, he can. On Tisha B'Av, you can only do it if he's B'Tzar Godol. And on Yom Kippur, you shouldn't be putting anything in your mouth at all. And during the fast day, when you do brush your teeth, you should be bending your head downwards in order not to inadvertently swallow any water or any toothpaste B'Issa, which would be an issue. The tzitzis, you should be, when you first apply your tzitzis to your beged, you should be cutting them only with your teeth, not with an iron knife. The Machasit Shashekel explains this to be because lo senefalei and barzel, teeth are to, iron knife shortens life, tzitzis lengthen your life. You should not be applying the two together, and therefore you should only be cutting them with your teeth, which is, Machasit Shashekel says, why specifically your teeth? Why not anything not made out of iron? Why not ceramic scissors from the tzitzis gemach? The answer is because there's 32 strings corresponding to the 32 teeth in your mouth. The Kaf HaChaim explained this al pi Kabbalah, that the 32 strings and the 32 teeth in your mouth correspond to the Lamed Beis Nesivas HaChochmah. And when you make the brochalis Atef Batitzis every morning, you should have in mind the Rosh HaTevis Lamed Beis, apart from the other things you need to have in mind when you put on your tzitzis, Lamed Beis corresponding to the 32 teeth, and it's a tzigulah that you shouldn't have a toothache. Similarly, it's brought down by Kiddush Levonah. Levonah is Lamed Beis Nun Hei. Lamed Beis corresponds to 32. Nun Hei corresponds to Nesivas HaChochmah. There's an idea to daven for your teeth during Kiddush Levonah in order that you shouldn't have a toothache. There's also an idea by moonlight to check your tzitzis straight after Kiddush Levonah. I wonder if they're connected. The 32 correspond to 32 Nesivas HaChochmah, 32 teeth, 32 strings on your tzitzis, and that you should be checking your tzitzis by the Lamed Beis Nesivas HaChochmah light. Siman Kuf Ayin Sif Yod, we said you should not be biting something and putting it on the table in front of your friend. The Shulchan Aruch seems to repeat itself and says the same thing again, don't bite something and put it in front of your friend on the table. Now, we already know that you're not allowed to put it on the table. Why does the Shulchan Aruch repeat itself and say you shouldn't put it in front of your friend? So he says, we're talking about two different pieces. The piece that you have in your mouth, you must not put on the table. It's asur mishumias. And the other piece that you have in your mouth, after you've bitten, you've got a bitten piece in your mouth, and you've got this piece here, you shouldn't be putting it in front of your friend. You should hide it away nicely out of his sight. Now, we spoke about Hilchos Brachos. You usually make Ko'etz before Shehakol, or any bracha of food before Shehakol. There is one exception that a lot of people are noheg, which is when they have a drink and a food, in order to make the second bracha, the per mole, based on the pasuk Yimalei pi sehil osecha, they show your mouth should be full for Hashem's brachos, they would make a bracha on the drink before the food, even if the drink was shahakol and the food had a more choshev bracha, in order to be mekayim Yimalei pi sehil osecha, some are nohig that they make the bracha on the drink first. There's also an idea I forgot to mention, if your teeth are full of things and you need to floss your teeth, you should be flossing your teeth, maybe based on this idea, before you make any bracha at all. Well, beheta on if your teeth won't bleed on Shabbos, yes. Now, a Gemara says on Shabbos that you should not go on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. We see a few shittas rishonim as to why this. The Razor says because you might come to do melacha because of pikuach nefesh. The Ramban says because the goy might do the melacha for you. The Rabbi Nachman says you might go out of the tachum. But the Rif brings a completely different idea. He says because of bittul mitzvahs oneg Shabbos. The ikka oneg Shabbos is eating. If you're feeling seasick, with the first 3 days of your journey, you feel seasick and you won't be able to eat. Therefore, you'll be mevatel the oneg Shabbos. Pulling out your teeth just before Shabbos, if it will stop you eating, or tightening your braces before Shabbos, if it will stop you eating, then you should not be doing it too close to Shabbos. You should schedule it earlier in the week, the covered Shabbos. Using a toothbrush, we brought down a few assume there might be a problem with sita, there might be an issue of mamreach with toothpaste, there might be an issue of showcase with your teeth. A fourth reason we said is uvdin the chol. Even if you're going to use a dry toothbrush and your gums won't bleed, so there's no mamreach and there's no sita and there's no showcase, but there's still an issue of uvdin the chol to use your weekday toothbrush on Shabbos. However, mokka mitzvah, for example, erev pesach, choli is for Shabbos, you can brush your teeth even with your weekday toothbrush, because uvdin dechol is mutter letzorech mitzvah. Shkaya.
Shkaya.